See, he did go ugly, bad, good there.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
That's all right. It's a remix edition. We can go backwards.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
We're running whenever you're ready.
We're running?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Oh, hello and welcome to the Band of Traders podcast. I'm Flary, and with me today, as always, is Kyle and Bear Goes Long. A couple of guys getting together here as we usually do. We're going to kick it back remix style. If you didn't recognize that intro, it's from, kind of the older version. Speaking of older version, Kyle, I hear you're celebrating a big promotion week. Somebody told me that you're segueing into a full-time meme trader and sniper, official Trump coin entrepreneur, if you will.
No. If I'm a Trump coin anything, it's bag holder.
Bag holder, that's what it was. Investor. Yeah.
My scalp turned into a long-term hold really quickly.
Oh, man. Ooh. I feel like that intro went a lot better when I sat in the first time, but... Anyways,
I think you still got it.
For not a script and throwing this together in 2 minutes, we'll call it. So, anyways, you guys sit back, relax, and hang out with the boys from Vanta and Band of Traders. But before we do that, Kyle, do we have any show news?
Wow, man, just like rolls off the tongue, man. Where's Dan? I'm gonna have to send him a message. Don't miss him. I know, right? Thursday episode coming out will be on Canadian economics. I get to sit down with Joel and Eric Mason, and Joel asked all the questions that he could think of. Tuesday, Cleo and I should be recording a mindfulness episode with our friend Sean Sawyer, too. He's over at Sound Performance Psychology. I think we got links in the show notes you should be able to check out if you want to go see his Discord. I think we got... What have we got, Bear? Do you remember? Is it like a 50% off first 3 months or something like that?
Yeah. The discount for the first 3 months off the Sound Performance Psychology Discord.
Yeah, you're in that room too, aren't you?
Yeah, Cleo and I are both in there. Sean does 2 weekly sessions, group sessions every week talking about different subjects, and then also does a weekly meditation on Wednesday mornings.
How often does he chew somebody out?
That's not his style. Which is hard to believe. Dang. After listening to the interviews, because he's so blunt in the interviews.
I know.
But actually, when we have these they're very open conversations, he's very supportive. Because usually somebody there, we're already calling ourselves out, going, oh man, I totally blew it on this, blah blah blah, and he's like, okay, well, let's reframe that and shift the conversation around and look at, what do we take away and how do we improve?
So the reframes, man, Rich got me with such a good one last time I had him on.
Oh, man. Love Rich.
What about for you, Flary, man? What you got going on this week? Still doing hockey season?
A little bit. Yeah. Hockey season's kind of grinding, working on some stuff with my parents. My mom's been a little bit sick, not a little bit, but she's sick.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. So just kind of a busy week with some of that stuff, and it was a good week of trading until today, to be honest. And yeah, just kind of the same old, and just kind of keep trying to grind a few different areas at once. Hopefully play some poker tomorrow. We'll see how the schedule goes and how I feel after the ass kicking I took today, but we'll kind of reevaluate.
Sounds like we'll have to do some good, bad, and ugly at some point here, huh?
Yeah, there'll be a good, bad. I mean, we're doing the remix, so...
We're going back to the old format. You got to do that.
Trying to see if I could find the old news segment. I don't know if I have it on here or not.
Well, I mean, there is another kickoff here. So after we do, do we have any show news to report? I'm supposed to say something witty, such as, we've got some fiery topics for you guys tonight. We're going to hit you with a 1-2. Something like Kanye's Twitter tonight, if you've been taking notice of that. So without further ado, should we jump into market news?
Yeah, let's do it. So there'd be a song that would play right here if I could find it, which I don't know where it's at, but I'll stick it in.
I remember that. We had to like wait for the song.
Posted it.
It's all coming back.
Dow drops deep on moving inflation, COVID frustration, war damnation. We're just bringing you the fucking news. You gotta recognize the game if you don't want to lose. We're just two bulls trading information.
Yeah, we are.
Rioters raiding, insider trading, taxes are raising, bills on the hill. We got a crypto mill. No, they ain't growing weed. When the Fed speaks today, it's some shit we don't need.
Sing it, man.
Two bulls trading information.
What?
Two bulls trading information.
I'm inclined to agree.
Two bulls trading information.
Accurate, very accurate. What information?
So what was the final score in for NQ here down on the day? I walked away before lunch, and
dude,
I really should have.
Do we actually know what caused that sell off or what sparked it?
I mean, a part of me wonders if it was the a little bit to do with the crypto sell off potentially as well, but you know, there was the merger news, which I think we'll maybe discuss, and then. There's a massive hack
Bybit.
The Bybit. Yeah, $1.4 billion hacked from Bybit. And,
yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like... I mean, it's funny. I posted it on Twitter last Thursday because we were pulling into the weekly high or the previous weekly high on Thursday, and we hadn't done it until... Like, for 3 weeks in a row, we did it on Friday and then sold off, gap down. Run back up from Monday. So basically, you could have just longed Monday since Trump took office and done well. But they kind of went back to it this week and got up there on Friday and then just dumped it. And it's just kind of like they switched that script up just one little week here. And this seems like the opening range is a good trade lately. Just stay short when we're below the opening range and stay long when we're above it. As stupid as that sounds and as simple as it is, or harder to execute, it just seems like...
Hey. Keep it just, stupid simple.
You're going to do yourself a favor not trying to long below the opening range and short above it in this current environment. But
the best
anyways,
thing you could have done in this current environment was go back and listen to that lesson you gave us on gain loss, because those freaking levels have been playing like fire this week.
Yeah, the structure, especially like the whole type zones and previous lows and stuff like that have been doing really well, which is part of the reason why I got a little whack today, is because they didn't do so well today. But anyways... final score 21,679. So, yeah, what is that? A good 500 points from like just
more than
before pre market.
Yeah. Because I thought we're up in the 222s.
Yeah, we opened at like 170, 180 because I bought calls like right away and those went to like zero right away. But anyways, yeah. Market news. What do you got?
I mean, I've got some stock-specific stuff. I didn't really look at anything news-related yet. Let's pull up the old browser and see what's on the history here.
Oh, yeah, going back and, okay, you know, this is going to age like a fine diaper. Yeah, the 22240 was the pre-market high.
Jeez.
And then, because we had that pre-market ramp about an hour and a half before the open, and then just... waterfall like 15 minutes before the open, which I would blame SPXAM options.
Here's something about the Dow plunge in 750 points as bad economic news piles up fast. So let's see what they're actually saying the issue is here. January home sales, they're pointing to. United Health on news of a Justice Department investigation.
For sure had something to do with it. It seemed like that was a pretty good catalyst.
What is going on over there? Okay, so that's interesting. What happened there? UNH is under fire for its Medicare billing practices.
Oh, United Healthcare.
Yeah.
They're a pretty large component of the NASDAQ, so that could definitely push it down.
Oh, they're down 7%. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So they launched the DOJ launched a civil fraud investigation how the company records diagnoses that led to extra payments for its Medicare Advantage plans. So they're scamming their people is what it sounds like, their customers, right? Am I reading that right?
Sounds like it. The market certainly felt that way. I've got a yellow line on my chart at 449, and they've been toying with it since like 2023. Wow, and they broke solidly below it.
What was the news that came out this morning? What was the one that came out after the open? Like it was it 15 minutes sales. After. That was the home sales. How bad was that? Because there was a big reaction this morning.
I mean, it's like the you know, whatever the PMI flash and all that stuff comes out on Friday, but it just seemed like normally the Friday news you can kind of fade it, and it's not one I typically like close a position on or anything like that. And boy, today was not the day to, unless you were already short, but whatever.
I was. I was not short after that news hit. It was awesome.
Good for you. Okay, so market news. We've got United Healthcare Group scamming and puking, but along those scamming lines, the crypto market, man. Can we just lump this into the stock market conversation?
Just throw it all together. Might as well, yeah.
Right? I mean, okay, so two things. One, shout out to my buddy Rue, who's a great trader, a good dude, and he is just this is gonna sound bad, but he has just drugged me into the trenches, which is like the badge of honor of like trading meme coins is like you're in the trenches, right? Mm-hmm. He has drugged me deep in the trenches. I've been on SoulScan way more than I should ever be, like wallet tracking and looking at different codes. I got bots running snipes and all this stuff. I mean, this guy's ran me into the trenches. Nice. I love it. But it's been a wild like couple weeks in the meme space. So like just to kind of like give a landscape, like obviously Trump launches meme coin and then Melania and you know, whatever. The whole like celebrity thing's been going on for a while. Yeah, Hawktua. That's what I mean. Like the whole celebrity like rug pull thing's been going on for a while. And I wouldn't call Trump or Melania necessarily a rug pull, but they was sniped heavily, which means that people knew the coin was gonna come out, and so they're able to like get access to like the first block where it comes in. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, they're able to get like basically the best pricing. And when they get that best pricing, now they're basically like an insider.
It's like an IPO almost, kind of?
Yeah, it's like they're like sneaking into the IPO for free, which is wild that they get an opportunity to do that. But, you know, again, like how do you find out that, you know, they're launching a coin? These guys are just geniuses. So anyways, you know, Trump and Melania coins, arguable whether they were like true rug pulls, and there's like, you know, whatever, the tokenomics of it look better than some of the normal stuff in the celebrity coins. But you have that, and then now you've got Davey Day Trader, you know, Portnoy, that right. Like just discovered meme coins, you know, whether it was accidentally or intentionally or whatever is still kind of to be decided. But he's been playing in the space, and he figured out that he can just tweet a name and pre-buy it, and then, you know, I mean, he's basically selling it, and he believes what he's doing is legal.
Well, I mean, it is, because it's basically what those Atlas guys were doing, or whatever that other group was, and they got off because they were not directly selling to anybody. They're going through an exchange. I think that was the technicality that they...
And I think his technicality is, like, he was very vocal. Like, he has a live stream some mornings. He's been on Twitter and basically said, like, I'm only holding one coin. You can only count on me to not sell one coin, and that's this jail stool coin that he got into. He said, everything else I reserve the right to sell. Mm-hmm. And it got a little shady. So he's been pumping and dumping coins. Basically, like, he'll put the Twitter or the on Twitter, he'll put the CA or the contract address out. And then he'll sell it. And he takes that money and he, quote unquote, in theory, pushes it into these other coins. But then he was kind of toying around with the idea of launching a coin. Well, he finally launched a coin. It was called Greed.
Greed, great.
So he launches this coin and it goes, you know, from, you know, pennies, like not even pennies, like millipennies to millions. And he goes on and he's posting about it. And he literally dumps it right after his live stream. Like, he was on Twitter Spaces. He dumps it in one clip. And it goes from like 10 million to one. Or like to 100,000. Like in one clip. And the guy makes a couple $100,000. And he, like an hour later, launches Greed 2. and does the same thing. So, you know, just like, yes.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, and now if you follow his Twitter, he's antagonizing people that, like, Greed 3 is coming. And he's, like, using the old Wall Street movie. Like, he's got some, things put together. Like, somebody made a little video. Greed is good. So, listen, it's just been wild. Adam 22 or whatever, that cuck dude, he put out a coin and rugged it.
So is anybody learning then to, like, to dump their holdings, like, before his live stream ends?
Well, that's what's happened. I mean, like, the market was, I wouldn't say buy and hold, but, like, you try to find a good coin and ride it up, 100x or whatever. Now it's like, dude, like, 30 minutes to an hour is an eternity in this world. we were playing, it's funny, we were playing on the, like, Friday night poker. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. And
last week.
Was it last week? And I found a coin and I was like, all right, check it out. I'm going to buy this coin. And I was walking a guy through it. I'm like, okay, now it's going to hit King of the Hill and it's going to bond. And then when it bonds, we got to be careful because it's going to push up and stuff. Like, he's like, dude, this is insane. I just watched an entire bubble structure evolve and happen in like an hour. I'm like, dude, it's like this all day, every day. So anyways, the whole meme space is wild. Libra coin came out, which was the president of Argentina. He backed this coin, and apparently, again, like, snipers and all this stuff. Like, there's been, hundreds of millions of dollars of extraction from this market, but it continues to go, and so it's just been this wild thing. And so, it's just, it culminates today with $1.4 billion getting hacked from Bybit, which, potentially had something to do with some of the market sell-off too. But, I mean, this meme space is, when they call it the trenches, they're not kidding. I mean, it's a...
What was the SEC case against Coinbase? Because I saw that got dropped this week too.
I don't know that I saw that.
I just saw that they dropped it. I don't know what the actual case was. Of operating in unregistered securities and exchange.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they've continued to define that, like, these, collectibles, meme coins, whatever you want to call them, like, Doge is not a security. And they're just not, like, it's just, it's clearly not trying to be a monetary.
It's not a anything. Currency.
They're not right. saying it has intrinsic value because it's going to do A, B, and C, right? Like, Meta,
right,
you have
right.
a, it's tied There's to
no product, yeah.
right? Yeah, it's literally just a collectible at this juncture. And so it's interesting there, I think that's why a lot of these people are operating in this space, this, Solana, meme coin, whatever space, is because they believe it's
some of them are supposed to be, like, tied to the projects, and the projects are supposed to be what, like, fuels. They're the rewards for people using whatever that project, right? Like, isn't that how crypto typically works? Like, you want people on your network, and so...
Yeah, I mean, certainly some. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely coins that have, functionality to them. But, I mean, there's also, dog shit coin and Elon Trump fart. And, right. It's right. just like...
I guess, I don't know. Is there a difference between Ethereum and a meme coin, is what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Asking. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Bear, what were you saying?
Yeah, at what point are these just, NFT, the lazy man's version of NFTs is starting what these sound like.
Well, that's what a lot of people are equating them to now. Is like, if an NFT was a collectible, like, that's kind of what they're coining, pun unintended, that's kind of what they're coining the meme market is, like, these are collectibles. Like, you might as well just be buying, a 1/1,000,000,000th share of a Pokemon card. And maybe that Pokemon card ends up being a Charizard, and maybe it just ends up being a, fucking Weedle or something. Told myself I'm a Pokemon nerd.
That's awesome. I actually just following that 100%.
Yeah, that made sense to you?
Yeah, all of it.
Perfect. And it's just like, and then you mix in, like, the fact that, like, if you don't know about the blockchain and how these guys are bundling coins and sniping coins and what does it look like and how to track wallets, like, you're already at such a disadvantage. Plus, 99.9 of these are going to zero anyway. So, like, it's, you're really playing.
take a rude break here for a minute.
I loved watching him jump across the couch earlier. That was the best part.
You saw that? Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I missed
that. We got a guest in here today. Sorry about that, guest.
Oh, dude, it's all good.
But, yeah, anyways, it's just it's an interesting space, and I would argue that you're basically watching market cycles happen, like, instantaneously, and it's the equivalent of basically trading, like, penny stocks, pink sheets, like, with no rules, no regulations, nothing. Completely wild west. Yeah. Yes. So.
One thing, I don't know if we're ready to talk about some maybe stock news, but I've been kind of following Intel. I don't know if you guys have been paying any attention to this whole semiconductor thing. J.D. Vance was talking about wanting to invest in infrastructure, and Intel's been, like, taking off ever since.
I haven't seen it. Sounds like a trade, though.
I mean, Purdue is calling that one out since I think the beginning of the year. He's been talking about that one. I have some long dated calls on that. That news came out like just the right time. It's kind of awesome. But just talking about the news itself. So it looks like what they're talking about doing is wanting to maybe even like split it up. There's two interested parties, it sounds like, in Intel. There's one that's interested in the chip manufacturing side, which is like TSM. Not really sure whether they're actually interested or not, or whether that's just Trump trying to get them interested by saying it publicly and hoping they do it. And then I can't remember the name of the other company, but they were interested in like their programmable semis. And I think it's their server sets.
Oh, the FPGAs.
Yeah. But I mean, they're talking about parting that thing off. They can get like $200 billion for this thing. And last I checked their market cap, I wanted to say it was like, was it like 160?
That's interesting. So that's like a classic, go back to, you know, we were just talking about Gordon Gekko. Kind of goes back to your classic Gordon but Gekko play of the company's worth more apart than it is together.
Right, right.
I mean, from a technology standpoint, Intel hasn't done anything innovative or interesting in more years than I can remember.
But they always flip-flop with AMD. They're never, like, they always kind of go through cycles. And AMD's architecture, or not AMD, I'm sorry, Intel's architecture has always been better than AMD's, at least from what I have understood. Architecture-wise, yeah, they squeeze more out of, the bigger chips. So
yeah, their starting basis, you know, they got a handful of freaking super geniuses that you know really really know their microarchitecture, but nothing really innovative, nothing that you know took the world by storm. You know, they let Nvidia you know float away, and you know, they could have been in that market.
Broadcom was the other one that was
Broadcom.
Looking at them. Yeah.
So the making a comeback.
The Intel itself right now I think is $100 billion market cap. So yeah, the estimates that are floating around there are somewhere around $200 billion if they part this thing out and sell it like that. So I mean that'd be nice if that happened.
Not to flip the subject on you so quickly, but what's going on with Palantir, if that's how you pronounce it correctly? Like, this thing is
AI and defense contract boosts. So
With Hegseth and Doge.
Musk talking about wanting to automate a lot of systems. I think Palantir was the one that looked to be the biggest beneficiary of that. But then now a bunch of contracts and stuff getting cut. People are starting to realize that Palantir is going to be hurting from that side of it too.
Yeah. So good and bad. But yeah, man, I mean that run.
That one
blew out a ton of shorts, or I mean, geez,
that hurt to watch because I think I was sitting in calls on that. I think a ratio diagonal from like $17 a share and closed it out in like 30s.
It reminds me of the Carvana. I was long Carvana from like the 30s or something ridiculous on like 6 month out calls or something stupid, off of some like monthly trend break thing. And I was showing it to somebody and he's like, oh, this is what I would take. I'm like, all right, I'll jump in there too. You know, thinking I'm a genius covering them for like, you know, 200 or 300%. The thing literally ran, you know, from what, I mean, wherever Carvana is, it's like a similar run. I mean, it's just like crazy, just straight up every day kind of thing.
That one was wild. I mean, I got in like right. Intel, not at Palantir. I'm sorry. Going back to Intel. I got into Intel when it was like trading around 19. I think I bought like $16 deep in the money calls. No, I was trading around 22 at the time because I sold 22 and a half calls. But it was like the day later I had to cover the short calls because it fucking run up another, you know, 15%. And my short calls are the same delta as my long calls. It made no sense to hold them anymore. I'm like, why does this happen every time I get a good one? Like, man, why did I sell that short call? Should have waited a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sitting in two more of those, and I'm not touching those until it hits 30.
Well, we talked about some stocks, and then I was supposed to say, now let's talk about some crypto, but we did that. And on my script from the last time I hosted this show, it says, now it's time for a little segment we used to call the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, I do have one of these. Let me see. Does that work?
Oh!
Got that one.
Oh, there you go.
There's actually a song in here, too, I think. Is that a song? Hang on. Oh, that's the AI song I made. That's what that was. Ugly of trading.
We've learned the lessons of trend day fading. The days that hurt, the days that we need. As long as we don't blow out from greed.
Greed.
What's bad for you could be my good. Cause I finally stopped buying like I knew I should. Big old wins, but then almost breaking. The good, the bad, the ugly of trading.
Throwback is so good. This is a remix. We should have done this a little better planned out because this is a good episode. I like the remix idea.
We'll do this more often.
Yeah, this feels good. It feels good.
It does.
Good
to be back. It's like an old glove, right?
Yeah.
Like the old glove that you... No, wait. That's... it didn't fit. It didn't fit. All right. Who wants to kick us off with some good, bad, and ugly?
I mean, I'll go. All right, so good, bad, and ugly. Let's say good. I had a pretty good read. Like you were saying earlier, some of the main setups that I take were all really hitting well. They've actually been hitting pretty well for the last, like, I would call it week and a half, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But some really good, like, trend break, cool tech, whatever, gain-loss-based trades that have really held those, like, key hold levels, gave really good, like, smallish areas and zones to work. And the option strategy that I've been deploying to use those zones has been working, you know, really well. You know, ES the other day, was it Wednesday? ES pulled into one of those zones. It's funny because NQ hit it too early, and then ES was like a little bit lower. And even the NQ trade that like was down like 25-30%, by the time ES hit its level and I bought those calls, they both just ripped, and ES went, you know, outside a standard deviation move relatively quickly. So anyways, I would say the good has just been like a couple of the process trades that I specifically have just been trying to take every single one as a point have done really well this week. And yeah, so that was that.
Awesome, I'll say
the bad, you know, just kind of a tough week as far as my schedule is just thrown off. Sunday night, I was supposed to pick my mom up from the airport. She was down in Mexico doing some bootleg stem cell thing for her PSP. And her flight, literally, mm-hmm. I left my house or was getting ready to leave my house. And it was like, you know, it was supposed to be at 11:45. And I was like, oh, it got delayed. So it's like, all right, I'll hold off. 12:45. 1 o'clock, 1:15, 1:30. By the time I got my mom and my aunt in the car, it was probably 2:45. They live an hour away. By the time I got home, it was damn near 5 a.m.
That's
cool. Yeah, and it just threw my, you know, so I had to like throw some, you know, some calls and stuff like that that I had for some of the food service stuff around, and, you know, was tired, you know, coming into the market. It just threw my whole week off. Honestly, like everything felt like I was like one day behind all week, you know, so obviously, you know, always happy and grateful to be able to help family out and stuff like that. But man, I'll tell you what, something about like thinking you're going to the airport at 11:45 and then going at like, you know, 3 a.m, you know, just the whole thing. So I'll call that the bad, just like a off week.
At least you got them home. That's all you can say, right?
Well, it's like one of those flights, I think, that it's like it goes from Minneapolis to San Diego. Minneapolis, it's like just does right? That plane just does that loop. And it got stuck in Minneapolis that day. And then, you know, whatever. So it's just like, it's delayed getting there and then delayed because they couldn't come back. And the whole thing just kind of threw my week off, a little bit of an off week. Also got bad beat, like a so bad in this poker tournament on, was it Monday?
Whoa, how this, bad?
Overs? This, it, well, I mean, it wasn't like terrible, terrible, but this you know, young kid, you know, the child of the sim, GTO kid, ran up a big stack, and one of these OG guys from Minnesota that just does not care if, you know, you're a studied, like, young internet punk, he just sat down and started eating this kid's lunch. And you could just see him go on full-blown tilt, and he blew, like, he had, like, 3 or 4x starting stack, and he was just dumping it back to the table, and I had no cards, and I was just waiting. I'm like, God, please just let me set this kid up.
Right.
And finally, he limps into my big blind. I flop two pair and he has nothing and he's just bombing into me. And he makes top pair on the turn. I have 9-8, turns the queen. And he just, I bet, because I'm like, oh, this is perfect card. I bet he goes all in. I snap call him. He's basically drawing to one queen and bink hits it on the turn or on the river. So yeah. I went from like about to be, you know, relatively chip leading at my table and about to cruise in this tournament to, you know, warming the car up, which is always frustrating. So we'll just lump that all into the bad.
Were you able to recoup any of that on pull tabs?
I did not play pull tabs. I snapped, just left. I was pretty tilted.
That must have been a bad one.
Yeah, I was pretty tilted. You know, it's like you wait for your spot, and you wait for your spot, and you finally get it, and it's like...
It's not today.
You know, it's like you wait for the perfect setup, and then like you take it, and you're like, wow, that just got blown out like in 2 seconds. So, yeah, it just like generally, like it felt like it was just an off week. So we're just going to say off week in the bad. And the ugly was definitely just today. It's funny because it was like a good, I would have even called this the good, but because it was one big long trade, it just goes into the ugly. But, Thursday I shorted the open relatively early, had some key levels that were untested much lower below, scaled into those, covered like maybe 30, 40 points from the low a day and flipped long, like, I mean, less than 10 points from the low day. And it ran off of this level and actually hit the level that I had to the tick. I was just waiting for a little bit of confirmation. So I was long, like, dude, down there. And it ran and I held it and, like, held the size through and scaled into the close and, like, held a position through settlement, which I don't do all often, held it through overnight. We had this push up into like the 7 a.m. and then it kind of started Central Time. So and then it kind of started selling off before the open, but it was pulling back into the support that they had gained kind of overnight. And my average is, you know, hundreds of points lower. And I'm like, well, perfect opportunity. We're 250 points from all-time high. Here we go. Friday trend day. Let's push it. Let's blast all-time high. This could be the one. I'm going to be giga-sized. I'm going to bring my average up on huge size and try to ride an average that goes. And, you know, I added and brought my average up, and I added and brought my average up, and next thing you know, I'm in big size, and my average is in my face, and didn't make the best decisions short of that. So I took what was a really, really great trade and turned it into one of the biggest losses of the year, if not the biggest loss of the year. I'd have to go look, but it's pretty damn close. So yeah, the ugly is just, you know, and honestly, probably just a little bit tied to ego of like how well yesterday went. I literally drew it out kind of like, I want to see this. I want to see a pull down into these levels. I want to get long from these levels. I wasn't even planning on shorting, but I liked it. And so it was just like something in my head about like, okay, I'm short from the open. I covered perfectly. I got long near the low a day. I held overnight. We ripped. And now we're pulling back into support, and I have this great opportunity to put size on with a well-protected average. And, you know, instead of cutting it like I should have, I just kept adding. And, you know, my average was still good, right? Like, I was still – it was still okay, but it's like the trades today were bad rel today, but, like, the bigger scheme of things, it was okay. And then before – it went from okay to, like, what are you doing relatively quickly. Obviously, we dumped – pretty quickly today. So yeah, just got a little bit in my head on like, this is it. And it went from this is it to like, what are you doing? And just ended up having to puke something on too big a size. So
do you mind if I mean, as far as the whole week goes, is that ruin the whole week or did you at least
oh yeah for sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely got a little stubborn. So, you know, I mean, I've talked about this a lot. You know, it's definitely one of my struggles is giving that stuff back. But, like, by the time we approached where my average was, it went bad so fast. You know, it was just like, okay, puke this. Yeah. You know, but it was just like there was a time where I was like, okay, well, we're still in profit, rel 24 hours, and, you know, our average is okay. And, you know,
right.
I'm in a lot of contracts, but it is what it is. And that changed so fast. And I just didn't react to it quick enough and could have scaled the ads. And, you know, like there's just so many things I could have done better today that was honestly just tied to ego and the fact that, like, oh, well, I've got room to run, you know, on this thing. And it was just like today's trade sucked, but, like, because I was up so much from yesterday, it was like rationalizing it in a way. So, you know, I mean, had it turned around and, you know, taken out the open and done what I thought, you know, I'd be telling a different story about how I was brave and brought my average up and it was well protected on this, you know, LVN or blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't the case. And when it went clearly against me and it was obviously a trend day and we couldn't get back above VWAP and all the things that, like, I was watching and telling myself differently, that's why I'm just going to call it ugly. It's like, dude, the writing was on the wall. It was a 30-second no tick. They tested the OR. They rejected it. The bounce back to VWAP. Like, it was just all the things. I'm like, I'm literally telling myself this is terrible. Yet buying calls and adding to the long, and it's just very out of process. Like, and also just like, you know, by the grace of God, there go I, like, doing dumb shit, like watching myself do stupid stuff, and just punted back a week.
It's almost like the first part of the trade was just too perfect. Like, everything you did was perfect, and then you get to the first point where it's not perfect, and it's like, whoa, what happened? This isn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, a little upstuck too, like all of those things. Yeah. You know, like, what was, I mean, honestly, I don't remember where it was I bought, but I'm on Carvana. But I mean, it was like, it was in there, man. I mean, I was like,
well, I mean, even looking at the pattern, our friend Scalpert posted a great little meme late today, and it's like, Monday, puke off the open, buy the dip, woohoo. You know, Tuesday, puke off the open, buy the dip, celebrate.
Yep.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, puke off the open, gotcha.
Well, and I've been commenting on it on Twitter. You know, it's like it's the pattern that's, you know, been happening. It's the Friday sell off, Sunday gap down, Monday walk it all the way back.
Right.
You know, long Monday has just been a trade. Yeah, it was long 960 ish on Thursday, and we went, you know, whatever, to 240.
That was a good trade.
Beautiful. Yeah, so, you know, anyways, ugly just, you know, turned something that was good into something that I got to sit with on the weekend, so. I digress.
Bear, can you compete with that one? I don't know that I can.
I don't even know how to follow that up. But
I know, right?
Yeah, I've been chasing my ego for the last 2 weeks and just, you know,
saw you posting something about that on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, fortunately I have really tight risk controls on my accounts, and it's just like, it's like almost every day I've been like, you know, I try to go in and I'm relaxed. I'm doing my homework. I'm writing down my goals. I'm writing down my process. And then 3, 4, 7 minutes after the open, I'm like, click, 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 click. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden my computer's like, 3 strikes, you're out. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. Okay, tomorrow.
I feel like you're reading my notes.
Are you going ugly, bad, good? Or are you going to go in opposite order? or is this the good?
I hope this is good.
Well, no, the good is that I have really good freaking risk controls.
Yeah,
And I do appreciate, you know, CR Charts has amazing risk controls, but they're really easy to override. Top Step, the X platform, for all of its many, many faults, which I won't disagree with, the risk controls have really been foundational. They've been a game changer for me, huge, because you cannot override them.
I have not tested mine yet. That's good to know, though.
No, so they actually introduced a new feature last week before, somewhere in there, where you can actually go in during the close period even, and you can lock out your risk controls.
Yeah.
They, so you can say, set my risk limits and lock them out. Don't let me touch them for 24 hours.
So the TFD there's as you can customize that too. So if you just want to lock yourself out for 15 minutes or for an hour, like you want to cool off for a little bit, or I don't want to trade the open, let me lock myself out to keep myself from doing anything dumb.
Yeah. So now I've just gotten in the habit of, before we even do the afternoon open, I just go in my accounts, lock, because I know what I don't want to do. And I know what I have a bad habit of doing. And then insult to injury is, you know, then I'll walk away for a while. I'll cool off and then I'll get the itch. And again, let my ego step in and go, no, you're a good trainer. You can do this. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll get in a combine and I'll turn around. I'll max the combine out. And it's like, okay, great. That didn't actually do anything for my pocketbook and didn't actually do anything for my ego, but I spent some money.
Right.
For no point. Right. And then like even today I was like, my practice account, gosh, I've been training my practice account amazingly well. And then even today I had some resting because I took the market buttons off of my platform.
Oh, yeah?
So I don't have market buttons. I just have join bid, join ask. And I've been trying to really be good about, you know, picking my points, picking my spots. And I had a resting order up at like, I want to say it was like 9:14 or something because I was trying to chase it down, but I wasn't letting myself chase. And like 45 minutes later, it pops up, grabs my orders perfectly, manages to not hit my stop 7.5 points away. And then just poof. Drops down 40 points. And again, you know, it's a practice account. It matters for absolutely nothing. But if I was trading that way in real, that was a $5,000 day.
Is that a trade that you can consistently hit?
No, not that one.
Yeah.
But what I have gone into and really talked about more online is, what I have a tendency to do is I'll put on a good trade. I'll actually follow my process in my practice account. I'll put on the trade. I'll set the targets. And then the trade is good. So I'll flip over to my real accounts and I'll try to replicate it and I overmanage it. And I come back an hour later and I've made almost nothing in my real account because I overmanaged the trade. And my practice account, which I ignored, and I let the trade work out, boom, went to target, cashed out.
Dude, you just need to put the trade on and walk away. Like, don't even, you know, you need to be watching it, man. Put the trade on and go somewhere else.
Exactly. So there's some lessons in there. And
I've been struggling with that a lot lately. I keep hearing Flary in my head, buy the ticket, take the ride. If I buy the ticket, I've taken the ride. It's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of distraction in my personal life, so honestly, I really should not be trading live capital or even funded accounts at right now. So the fact that I'm kicking myself out and locking myself out really quickly on small losses is kind of a win.
It's better than, yeah, if you're sizing down because you got stuff going on, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah.
See, he did go ugly, bad, good there.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's all right. It's a remix edition. We can go backwards.
So Bear, I think we kind of might have the same issue here. And it's the one I wrote down for today was that, like, the thing that I've been fighting with lately is that I don't have to take every trade, but I want to take every trade. Every opportunity that I see, every little wiggle that gets to a point that looks like a structure that I want to trade, like that looks like something I could capitalize on. Everything feels in the moment like this is the one that's going to make the day. This is going to be, they're never going to trade this spot again. And trying to be okay with not taking those low quality trades has been the thing that I've been struggling with lately. I'll go through periods where I'll do well 4 days in a row and I'll give it all back 2-3 days after that just because it's low quality setups. One thing that has helped though, and I'm going to pull out the journal again and plug this one more time, is writing this stuff down on here. Mm-hmm. Even if I haven't been able to find a solution necessarily to what's been going on, I've at least identified there's a problem, because like I've noted here, like 5 days in a row, I've had the same goal and I failed at it. So obviously I got to try to do something different because this approach is not working.
Yeah.
So my good is that my journaling and everything else has actually allowed me to identify that my current approach is not getting me the results that I need. The bad is that it took me 5 or 6 days to kind of get to that point where I probably could have got there a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily had any uglies this week. Maybe my trading on Monday wasn't all that great. Was it Monday?
It's always a good sign when there's no clear ugly.
It was all the week before, I think. Got it all out of the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Monday. Monday was pretty bad. Monday, I just emotions kind of dictate things. And mm-hmm. Some of those things, like, it's funny. You sit down, you're like, okay, today I'm only going to take A-plus setups. And then the first B, C setup pulls along. And then next thing you know, you're clicking in. And then after that, like, everything's gone out the window. And you're wondering, what the hell? Why am I clicking now? Like, there's nothing even happening and I'm clicking the button. What just happened? You ever find yourself dealing with that? Am I alone here? Or...
No.
What do you do to snap yourself out of that?
No.
Walk away.
Yeah. And that's
seriously, I go do the dishes.
Me too. I thought that's funny. Wow, that's
fucking I feel like hilarious. I'm always putting away the dishes.
That, not necessarily
doing that. Mm. It's always the dishes that, yeah. Like, all right, I'll vacuum or go do the dishes.
Yeah, I'm the early to bed one, so you know. And you know, the market opens at 7:30 here, so you know, 7 a.m., 7:45. I'm like, all right, I'll go over and do the dishes that everybody left for me last night. Thanks.
It is funny that you say the walk away. That has been, I've been finding myself walking away really quickly, like the past couple weeks. Like if I'm not feeling it, I'm up and out.
I literally just go lay on the couch. I should have today.
I actually been, I pull my green screen down. We're not recording because I got a couch behind me too, so that way I can do the same thing. So I just go sit back and
nice.
The mouse is away. I don't have to.
And you can just kind of peek up and be like, am I interested? Nah, whatever. Yeah. Keep doing what I'm doing. But
I remember you talking about that in the humanity episode. Mm. Just saying, I'll just get back to the couch.
Yeah. But you know, you keep an eye on it and you know, do something else, and I'll get the iPad out and just kind of whatever, you click over every once in a while, wait for the next level, right? Like wait for the next like trade that you, okay, this one didn't work, where's my next trade? And you know, you wait for it to set up, and that's the key. Wait, patience.
I think the other thing too is I'm gonna go up another time frame for real, like switching up to the 5 minute has been good. I think going up another time frame would probably help a lot.
30 minute, 1 hour, four hour.
I even just put it on a 1 hour because you get into a trade and you stare at it on a 30 second chart. You're getting terrified, but you flip to a 5 minute and you're like, oh, hey, nothing's happening. Dude, whatever.
This crypto stuff, like the meme coins, you literally chart them on like a 1 second chart. It's just straight. Right? Oh my God. It's just so bad. I mean, you're literally trading like 10,000 market cap stocks. But anyways.
I think we did an M period once with the 5 second chart, but yeah.
So a good old fashioned good, bad, and ugly. The next part of this is supposed to be the bet. Now, we don't have a bet to discuss that we had previously, but, I mean, in the nature of the remix, should we make a bet and we can circle back to it?
Yeah, I mean, what do we want to bet on here?
Oh, wow.
I mean, in the spirit of meme coin conversation, do we make a bet on who's the next person to launch a multi-million dollar market cap meme coin?
I like that. I like that.
All right.
Hang on. I need to do a little bit of research here. Oh. Do you have a person in mind already?
I mean, Kanye's been teasing it a little bit, so...
I've got one.
I would say that's a decent chance, but... I mean, these political ones have been pretty fire too, but... yeah. I'm going to go, okay, here's the long shot, because I won't take the layup. The layup is Kanye. Kanye probably does one in the next, like, 48 hours. But
it is the weekend.
Who's the gal who, like, had sex with, like, 1,000 people and now she's pregnant or whatever?
Oh.
She's like, I don't even know her name. Her, whoever she is.
Yeah.
That's
Heidi like she's prime. Klum, that one, like,
oh, I wish Heidi Klum had a video with 1,000 whatever.
All right, can I tell you?
My Google is now tainted. I know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, can I get a twofer? Is it okay if I go with like South Park creators, Matt Stone, Trey Parker?
Oh, I like that.
As a parody coin.
Man.
I can see them doing it as a making fun of everybody else. Oh,
God, that would be a layup.
Okay, I'm going Lily Phillips.
Lily, is that the name?
I think so. I don't know. I just Googled woman who had sex with 1,000 guys, and that's what came up.
I feel like you should have odds if that hits.
I'll take odds. Yeah, we'll get, I'll take like a 10 to 1.
You need an airdrop Lily on that Phillips. One. They owe you an airdrop.
I love the South Park. Dude, that's a good one.
While Bear's thinking of his, I'm going to tell you Purdue's idea, which we're working on. We're trying to figure this out. But instead of fantasy football, we're going to do fantasy, like build out a team, and we're going to draft out like CEOs, CTOs, CFOs. And I think the scoring will be based off of earning statements. So every quarter, you're basically like scoring off of it. Yeah.
Fantasy like financials.
Fantasy Financial League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The FFL.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, Bear, you got any?
No, so I was going to riff off of the earlier discussion, and that's just because crypto tends to get the most interesting, active, and volatile over the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's our missing celebrity. Oh, why doesn't he have a coin?
No, it's going to be Zelensky.
Ooh.
Dang it, he needs to fund a war. It's gonna be
the
Zelensky.
War coin. Yeah. The war coin. Fund the war.
All right, Barry, you can have that one.
No, I think that's the group. That's the group
The group bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got the porn star. Kyle's got the Comedy Central stars.
South Park.
Oh gosh, I remember season one of South Park. Oh my gosh!
What was the name of the girl you said?
Is it
Lily?
I deleted the history of it. Lily Phillips or Lily Lacey Phillips?
Google
or
remembers.
Yeah, Lily Phillips. Yeah, Google. Yeah.
And then what's yours?
Google
Bear?
Remembers. It was The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Oh, the band.
Wow. The artist.
The singer. The artist. The whatever. Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know. He played on the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
he's got some hit songs. I don't know.
Why does that feel like a 70s group?
He is a little retro. Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. All right.
Bruce Willis introduced him, and that's like a big meme. The Weeknd.
If you really wanted to go to, you know, classic show style, we should be taking over under bets on you know, where does NQ close out February?
All time highs, baby.
Well, we can do that bet on our next read.
There you go.
Gary,
do you have an outro on there that you can read?
It says end of episode. All right, folks. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks for stopping by the Band of Traders podcast. We're going to close up this show, but we'll be back with you soon. Until then, happy trades and stay profitable.
It works for me.
Right, man. Sounds good.
A fun show.
Oh man,
not bad. That's not good. Bad.
Yeah, a little bit of a classic.
Yeah, throwback. All right. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.